Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I love these beautiful days.
Yeah.
And it's getting hotter and hotter. And then we're having all this rain. I do not remember this much rain this early in the year.
I know it. And it seems like, I don't know if it's just maybe my imagination or maybe I, you know, forgot from years past, but it seems like, you know, the springtime storms seem a little bit more intense this year especially for over in your part, seems a little bit more intense this year than past years. I don't know. Maybe
I think they're pretty dadgum intense, all right.
Yeah.
Because they'll say thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight.
Ooh.
In the nighttime, which is ones that get severe.
Yeah.
You know, they are really rumbling. But at least we haven't had any tornadoes like everybody else has had.
Oh.
East Texas has had tornadoes. Oklahoma has had them, wiped them out. Old Tornado Alley up there off of 35. I don't believe I'd ever want to live in that part of Oklahoma.
Mm, that's scary. I mean, those things
come in. I mean, it is scary.
Wow.
It just keeps blowing these towns away.
I know it. Especially when they come at night and you can't see them. I mean, it's bad enough in the afternoon. But boy, it once the sun goes down and it's dark and you can't see anything, that's when they'll sneak up on you if you're not ready.
Well, what shocked me is the storms that took out the two towns in Oklahoma came from Texas. I didn't know it till
really?
I watched the weather the other day, and the weather guy went back and showed the radar, showed everything that happened the other night on Saturday night. He said it went right down 35, across Denton, by the way, and went right over the Red River and hit those two towns.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't
realize
that.
And I thought usually everything came from Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, usually it comes from the north and comes south. But this came up from the Gulf.
Wow, that's a little bit different. That's a little
scary.
It
was different. It was scary. And then in East Texas, they had a lot of things blown away.
Yeah.
There's a few tornadoes there that went that way.
Yeah. I mean,
so springtime in Texas, always be prepared for storms. Always, when they say go to shelter, be sure you do it.
Yeah. I mean, you start hearing the wind, even if it's not a tornado, you hear the wind and then you hear the hail like hit the roof. Ooh, that's scary. Wow.
Well, they said the other night that the wind was 50 to 70 miles an hour.
Really?
But they said in Oklahoma, where that tornado was, it was 150 to 170.
No. Wow.
I mean, you talk about big time. You know, there's not any houses going to survive that.
No. Oh, that's intense. Wow. I can't even imagine
really intense.
Being in a storm with winds that big. Wow.
And it just wiped them out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary times. And then,
and so far, I haven't seen anything to give that we can give. I know somebody was talking about, you know, they had clothes, but they're like me. They didn't know where to give. You know, we couldn't find a deal online where it said, you know, send the clothes here to a certain point where they'll collect them, or money even.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't see anybody accepting money on their behalf.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when people go through things like this and like an entire town is wiped out, imagine having like literally everything you know, everything you own is gone. I mean, you don't have any socks, you don't have any shoes, you don't have any clothes, you don't have any food, you don't have, I mean, you have literally nothing. And so people,
you don't even have any dishes if you had the food.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and then I heard that some of these people said they were poor there. Some of them said they didn't have insurance on their houses.
Oh, no.
How can that be?
Wow. That's
they should have had some insurance on their houses.
Wow.
But the businesses were wiped out right along with the residential.
Yeah. And that's going to take years to recover from.
That's right, because you're going to have to deal with insurance companies. The businesses, I'm sure, were all insured. And, you know, the insurance companies are going to come to town. It's going to take a while for the adjusters to adjust all this. It's going to be a long process before they get paid, probably.
Yeah. And then hopefully, and you know, every time, you know, things like this happen, there's the legit, you know, companies that come in to try to help people. And then there's always the scam artists that will come in.
That's right. They'll come in. and promise you the world and probably not even fix your house.
Yeah.
I know when we had all these storms here and all the hail, there was roofers came from everywhere, and everybody was laughing about it. They said, the roofers are on the move.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to come to town and hoodwink a few people.
Yep.
And the local ones just put out their phone numbers and a picture and said, you know, if you have roof damage, call us, and we'll come and look at it. And one lady said, you know, never in her life. But the roofer came, looked at it, and said, your roof's fine. She said, my gosh, what an honest guy. You know, he didn't try to, you know, say there was something wrong where he could make some money.
Yeah, most people wouldn't do that. They'd just say, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and, you know, we need to, you know, do the whole thing. And then really they need nothing.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, 40,000 later,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, it's a quick
roofs
buck.
Are expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But all the insurance companies are having a lot of claims right now. They're getting the houses for the roofs. They're getting all the cars that were hailed on.
Jeez.
So you've got a lot of adjusters out there working.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's dreadful because you know that this is in this time of year is when, you know, it's not going to be too long before the next round of storms comes and then the next round. And it just kind of, and then before you know it, we'll be into the hot season and then school will be out and it'll be like 1,000 degrees. And then we'll deal with heat waves and, you know, and all that. And the cycle
Let's
continues.
Hope there's no droughts this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so wet now. We could not mow if we had to. The grass is stinky, you know, soft.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can guarantee.
I mean, we've had a lot of rain.
I promise within probably 8 weeks, you'll be having the exact opposite conversation. It is so dry, we can't mow because a spark would set something on fire.
I'm hoping this year we don't go through that.
Yeah.
You know, I lost a couple of trees last year, a lot of plants, and I haven't even replaced them yet because I want to be sure that, you know, that they're going to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, I lost quite a few.
Wow. That's
during the drought. It didn't matter. The sprinkler was on. It wouldn't save it.
No, it was. It can't compete with that kind of hot and dry. And it went on for so long, it seems like. It was just like forever. There was like no break at all.
That's right. It was 112 to 113 for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. So before we get into that season, we'll enjoy this little transitional. Spring is always wonderful. Next weekend is Mother's Day weekend. And so, you know, it's a good time of year. So we'll just enjoy today while we've got it.
That's right. It's going to be a beautiful day. People are going to be out doing things that they should be doing and having fun.
That's what Saturday is all about. And talking about money. And that's what we do. This is your
right.
Money
Let's
with
talk
Faye
about
Baby.
Money.
Yes.
That's right.
It's your money with Faye Baby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So, what are the big highlights from this week? What good, exciting
stuff? Well, we're working on new policies. We've closed all the other ones we had available. The $6 million is finally gone. The $1 million policy is gone. The small policy, I believe it's $150,000, that one's gone. That one only has two people in it.
Really?
And and it was real short. I think it was a 12-month policy. And I called two people, and they said yes, and we put it to bed.
Good. Wow, that was fast.
That was fast. Really, the $1 million one, we did it real fast. We had a policy that just matured, and so we put those people in the new policy.
Mm, great.
So that worked out real well.
Yeah, timing sounds like that was perfect.
And, you know, I was just thinking this morning, with the market has been all over the page this week, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Stock market's falling here and falling there. And I thought about the investments that we offer. We don't have that downside risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to go down on any project or any product that we sell. And when you're in the stock market, your biggest risk is the downside, is when the market falls and your portfolio goes down a lot. So you have no market risk with us. And everybody should think about that. There's no downside. It's not going to go down. Whatever is the face amount of your policy, that's what you're going to get. When you do a life settlement and you put $50,000 in there, you're going to get that back plus whatever your interest is. And you don't get that in the stock market. When you're in the stock market, yes, you put $50,000 in. If it's a good day, a good month, or a good year, you get paid. If it goes down, there's no stop gap. There's nothing to keep it from going down. So it's a big difference in investments. I was just reading some articles this week, and they were talking about the downside risk, you know, and I got to thinking about it. I said, they're absolutely right. If you do an annuity with us, there's no downside risk. If you have an annuity and the stock market goes up since we merit, you get paid. You get paid once a year, it locks in. Stock market does not lock in your earnings. I mean, it's there, but it could go back the next day and you could lose it.
Yeah.
With annuities, it locks in. With a life settlement, it locks in. And you don't have that downside. And when you're doing stock, if it goes down, it's on you. And so that's a big thing about our investment. You don't have the downside risk, and you've got the upside risk at all times. You've got the upside with no risk.
Do you find...
With the stock market, it's a risk is every day.
When we have weeks where, you know, the market is unstable and things are, you know, turbulent, do you find people tend to, do you get an influx of calls from people saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. I've got to have something that's more conservative.
I have that happen a lot. We've had a lot of new accounts opened in the last month, and most of them say the same thing. We're at an age where we do not want the risk. You know, we're at an age where we need to know what we're going to make, and that we need to make it and know it's still there.
Yeah.
And we don't have any guarantees with the stock market that at the end of the year our profit will be there, or even our principal. You may lose some of your principal. None of our investments are ever going to lose your principal. Your principal is set in stone.
And that's
you're
important.
Protected.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, really.
Your interest is protected. So you've got a lot of protections you don't have over in the stock market. You don't have the gamble with us. You're not taking a gamble as to what it'll be worth at the end of the investment.
Yeah, it's really just a matter
and
of patience.
I have some friends from out of town. They've been wanting to invest with us for years, but they live in a different state, so I kept putting them off. But this policy we had, the $6 million, since it was going to pay so much, I finally told them, okay, do you want to go in it? They said, we need to do something. That was their exact words. We need to do something. And they'd asked me 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, no, I don't think we can do it. You know, and finally I figured out a way to do it. And but everybody that's in the stock market, they've got that up and down. They've got a 100% risk.
Yeah.
And so we've taken the risk out of it. We've tried to make it as safe as we can. And remember, when we do a life settlement, we don't handle the money. The bank does. And the bank pays the premium on it. The bank gets the check when they die, and they put the check in your account. So we've taken every precaution to make this as safe an investment as we can.
Yeah. Even just
and it's a life insurance policy. That's why it's safe.
Yeah.
A life insurance company is going to pay you 100%. Of whatever the contract calls for. So you don't have the risk of losing any of your principal or your interest. So I think it's the best solid investment for right now, for our time.
Yeah, I mean, with a life insurance policy, you know, there has never in the history of the universe been a time or any kind of a condition where you buy a policy for a certain amount of money and then the policy, you know, matures and they pay out a portion. Just by the very way that it's set up, it's 100% every time, and it's not dependent on market situations or worldly events or, you know, what mood somebody's
in. Or interest rates. You know, the interest rates are going to stay high again. They didn't reduce them. And that affects everything.
Yeah.
Oil fell this week. And so if you're in the oil business, you know how much that cost you. So it's different than any other investment. It doesn't go down because it's in a life insurance policy. Also, we do a specific policy. 99% are people that have terminal cancer. That's what we like, is cancer policies. We started this out years ago. It's worked. We've gotten better at it over the years. The LE companies have gotten better. So I think we've got it narrowed down pretty good now. So if you do a life policy, you know you're going to get paid. It pays well. You know, the policy we just did was a 37% profit.
Jeez.
We've had 6 policies mature in the last 2 months.
Really?
And 2 of them, or 3, came in early.
Really?
So this gave people money to reinvest and take their profit.
Wow. And that's really how the whole program is designed to work. For people, the investors are doing the best, making the most money, are the ones that are in a bunch of different policies, the ones that are most diversified. And that's really how it works. While policy matures, turn around, reinvest it in another one. And I think, is it fair to say that with life insurance policies or life settlements, profits are, let's see, I'm trying to compare and contrast. So with a life settlement, your profits are a little bit bigger, but it depends on when the policy matures. So it's a little inconsistent. But with annuities, the returns are a little bit lower, but they're very consistent. You can, like, literally plot them on a calendar. Is that?
You can plot it on the calendar.
Okay.
And annuities right now, they've been giving the bonuses. The bonuses are consistent right now. You can get 12 to 13% bonus. From the biggest companies. The small companies will give you a bigger bonus, but they're not big enough. So we stay away from that. If somebody insisted, we would do it. But, you know, we like a tried and true life insurance companies that have been in business 50 years, 100 years. We know they're going to pay off. We know they have a capital. We know that they're worth billions, not millions, but billions.
With a B.
And we know that they don't make loans.
Yeah.
That's why they're safer than a bank. You know, that bank just went down. And that bank had $6 billion in assets.
Jeez.
But they had some bad loans. I kept talking about those bad loans. I knew they had some. And now all these banks are, you know, trying to see what they're going to do about their bad loans. And the smaller banks probably end up having to sell to the bigger banks that will have the assets to cover those loans. So we're not in that field. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Because life insurance companies do not make loans.
They're
not in that business.
Literally, they've
got reserves.
They're
in the business of writing life insurance, annuities, and it's a profitable dadgum business. Because remember, about 11% every year let their policies lapse. That's pure profit. When you don't pay your premium and just say, okay, I paid on it for 10 years, I'm going to let it go. That is profit to the insurance company of the highest caliber.
Yeah.
And their people, their accountants and actuaries work this out every year as to how many are going to lapse, how many they're going to have to pay off, and what year they think they'll have to pay off.
Yeah.
They've got all this calculated.
It's amazing.
And that's why we do life insurance policies.
You know, and a lot of times people will see the commercials on TV where, you know, somebody, some company will get on and they'll say, you know, hey, you've got all this profit, you know, let's, you know, we'll sell us your policy and travel the world and the universe and take cruises and whatever. And people are sitting out there drinking lemonade and they're like, oh, that's a good idea. Those are not the policies you're buying, because those could go out 20, 30, 40, 50 years before they ever mature. You're looking for faster returns with the policies that you're getting.
We're looking for short term. I don't mind doing 36 months, 37, but I try not to go over that. Then we want policies that have got little tiny premiums or no premiums.
Yeah.
You know, we've had two lately, had no premiums. That's a no-brainer. If you've got a policy with no premium, your exposure is nil.
Yeah.
Zero, zero. And life settlements pay so good. That's why we've got so many people in them. The people that have several policies have done very, very well. The people that are pulled back because they had some go over are sitting on the sidelines. And we're making money, and they're sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in some of these policies also. I've got some exposure. Hmm. And, you know, every once in a while when I go on a policy, then somebody wants it, and I'll go, well, I'll give up my spot. So, you know, but lots of times I'm in policies. I don't always tell everybody that I'm in it with them, but lots of times I am.
That's a big statement. I mean, for you to put your own in a policy, that's really a big, that's a big testimony right there.
We've so, done it for years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that that I'm in and have been in and got my profit.
Yeah.
So anyway, if somebody is sick, they need to sell their policy, we'll buy it if it's right. It has to be short term, has to be low premium. But if you need to sell your, let's say you've got cancer and you're going treatment at MD Anderson or UT Dallas. You could call us, talk to us about it. If you're needing to sell that policy, we're interested. But you have to have cancer, and it has to be stage four.
Yeah.
And we buy them from out of state every day. You know, we look at a lot. We turn some down every week. But the good ones, we're in there bidding on it, trying to get it. But people are making, let's say it's a 24-month policy. You're going to make 24%.
I mean, that's,
if it's 36 months, you'll make at least 36.
Golly.
And if it's short term, you'll make more than what it says. If it's 12 months, we're probably paying 16.
You know,
so, I think a life settlement pays better than most conservative investments.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when everybody the other day was buying all these gold bars
at
Costco?
Yeah.
Oh, they bought millions and millions.
Yeah.
And now it's come out that a lot of them thought they could just turn around and sell it. And they said they found out you cannot sell it.
Really?
It was in the paper. And all these people thought, well, I paid this for it. I'll just go out here in a month and I'll sell it. They found out you couldn't.
Wow.
That it's not sellable that way. It's a buyable deal, but not a sellable deal.
Wow.
And a lot of people got burned. They said lots of people got burned. They just thought that it was liquid asset, that they could sell it right away, and it didn't happen.
Wow.
So a lot of them got stuck with those gold bars that they were going to make money on.
Mm.
They didn't buy it just to hold. They were going to turn a quick profit because they thought the gold was going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And so a whole bunch of them. I forget how many million they said is at stake over that.
Wow. I can't imagine, you know, trying to flip, you know, gold, and then all of a sudden you find out, uh-oh, now we're stuck.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. They were unsophisticated. They didn't understand it. And they thought that, oh, my gosh, it'll go up tomorrow. It looked like it was going up. And we'll just make all this money. But nobody wanted to buy it from them. Because
wow.
they don't know how to do it and didn't know how.
Ooh, that's a rude awakening. Yikes.
It was a very rude awakening, spending all that money on those gold bars.
Mm.
You're going to have to put them in the safe and keep them a long time.
Yeah, so it's useless at this point, basically. Wow.
Yeah, and
what a
I
shock.
Wish them luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always told people, be a little careful. You know, I don't like to say a lot, but I've always said that.
You've never been a big fan of gold. From what
I've never
remember.
Have, because mm-mm. I've watched the market the last 10 years on it.
Yeah.
And it just hadn't went up that much, in my opinion.
You've been doing this for a long time. You've been doing life settlements for, you know, a number of years, and you've seen that, you know, you've seen pretty much, I would say, every market condition possible, every you know, whether it's a stock market thing or, you know, different, you know, changes in you know, government stuff or world stuff or world disasters, or, you know, it doesn't matter what happens anywhere, the life settlement holds its value, whereas something like gold or, you know, real estate or, you know, something like that, it can fluctuate, it can go up, it can go down, you might lose, you might win, you might lose again, but the it seems like no matter what you've seen over the last many years, life settlements are consistent no matter what.
They are. It's one of the most conservative investments there is, and what I love about it is we're buying policies on people that have stage 4 cancer. We know they're going to pass away. It's a matter of when. Is it going to come in early, on time? Even if it's late, we still get paid. It's the same amount of money. So I think it's a great investment for our time. I mean, I look around and see all the things that's happening. I wouldn't want to be in commercial real estate right now. I wouldn't want to have one of these big high-rise buildings that they're foreclosing on. There's just so many things that are risky.
Yeah.
You know, real estate is taking a turn down, and this happens every few years. This happens. Everybody buys up all this real estate, and they pay a huge amount for it, and all these companies get in trouble and can't pay the mortgage. I mean, how would you want to have a mortgage on a 50-story building right now?
Oh, gosh.
There's a lot of them in downtown that are kind of vacant right now. And then that WeWork deal. Remember, they were worth $40 million. And all these little companies moved out of their buildings, and it bankrupted them.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that $47 million turned into probably about five.
Yeah. It turned to dust real quick.
It did.
Wow.
And the shopping malls, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah. Yeah, those retail spaces.
Those left, I don't think.
Golly.
And the one in Dallas, Willow Bend, you know, they lost about 30-40% of their retail, and they're going to tear half of that thing out and build condos and office buildings.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. And so look at the exposure they've had, and so now they're going to have a lot more, because condos and office building right now would not be the thing I would get into.
No, not at all. Golly.
With the market like it is.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not going to recover. In those types of, you know, like commercial real estate, mall properties, store properties, they're probably not going to recover. It's not like this is a phase where all of a sudden in a couple of years it may come back. Malls are done. I don't think they're ever coming back, ever. They're nice.
Well, nobody thinks so, because people do not want to walk in a mall and have to walk a mile.
No.
They want to park their car, walk in, get their merchandise, and walk right back out.
Yeah, or shop online.
Yeah, and everybody shops online. And look at the Express. That company went broke. Had 100-something stores.
Jeez.
And they were all in malls, so that really hurt. And, you know, all this stuff like this, they didn't anticipate that during COVID, people would quit shopping at malls.
Yeah.
They would do everything online. You know, Amazon and QVC is everybody's favorite place to go, because you can get almost anything in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people, when they're investing, you know, it's kind of the same way. We know cancer policies. We only do one thing because that's how we do it. And we've gotten better over the years. We've tightened up the curriculum on it. We check every life insurance company before we buy a policy, and they all pay good. We've had some over the years that, you know, try to delay it, but most of the time they pay pretty fast. And now that we've got this new company, North Star, that does checks on the policies all the time, they are fast. I mean, we'll know in 2 or 3 days when somebody's passed away. So we're getting the checks out quicker. We're making everything work quicker. So, you know, we're learning as we go. I mean, you know, been in business, you know, since 2003, but we're still learning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as information changes, as technology advances, as, you know, there's more and more information available, obviously the investment becomes more and more of an informed investment. Let me ask you this, though. I know you've had several new investors come over recently. What if somebody's thinking about this and you say, you know, this makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm kind of tired of the stock market. We're getting close to retirement. We need to do something a little more conservative. We need to do something to protect the principal. And they're thinking about a life settlement. Is there an age where people should? Okay, so if somebody's in their 40s or 50s and they say, oh, gosh, I've waited too long. I should have started earlier. This sounds like something I need, you know, 50 years to start making profits in. That's not true with a life settlement, right?
No, a life settlement, you're any age up to, if you're 75, you probably have passed it up. But if you're 40, 50, 65 years old, it's perfect. You need to get in there, get out of the stock market if you can, and do something conservative where you won't lose your principal. A life settlement, you know, it pays. The money goes back in your account, and we reinvest it over and over again. You know, we've got over $100 million invested right now in
policies. Wow. Oh, wow.
You know? So, you know, we're buying policies every day. I think this year, so far, we've done $19 million in policies.
So far, and we're just barely into May.
We've done $19 million so far.
Wow. Oh, my word.
I mean, we did a study on it this week to see where we were, and it's $19 million and counting.
Good Lord. That's tough to sneeze at. That's insane. I didn't realize
that. It's going to be looks like a red letter year because we've been having a lot of maturities. I mean, we've had six in the last 2 months, and, you know, they weren't little tiny policies. So we're thankful for that. We're still waiting on Mr. Denton, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Denton is turning 92. We're hoping he doesn't outlive all of us, you know?
What is, would you say, is the most common first question that people have when they come over to you for the first time and they're interested in life settlements? What do they ask the most?
Well, I think they ask, you know, what kind of policies do we have any available? Are they ready? Can they get invested right away?
Okay.
And then they're usually referred. You know, everybody gives us referrals, which is great. I appreciate it. The people that came this month, they were all referrals from family members that have been with us. One has been with us 12 years. The other's been with us 3 years. So they recommended us to their relatives, their friends. So they came over and opened accounts with us.
Cool. How long does it take to open an account and get started?
Usually about 12 days.
Wow, that's quick.
I think it's really quick. And that's unless we're having to transfer money from your 401 or your IRA in. Because you can have a 401 and turn it into an IRA with us. Yeah, you can have a Roth, you can have a regular IRA. Or you can have a joint custody account with your wife.
Paint a real quick, broad, general picture of what people should expect when they come over for the first time. Say I'm a new investor. I come to you and I say, okay, Faye, I've got a chunk of change. How much chunk of change should I have? How many policies should I be in? What does that look like?
You should be in several policies. The people that came had several hundred thousand they put with us. And they can buy a lot of policies for that. And, you know, they don't have the risk they had when they were in the market. So this money should last them a long time, and it should increase a lot. So, you know, it's everything should be on the up, not down like with the stock market.
Cool.
So they've taken the risk out of their portfolio. Their only risk is getting to my office and home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really.
That's your greatest risk.
Wow.
Is going down the highway. That's your biggest risk.
And with the way people drive. That's...
I know. We should all take out accident insurance on them.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, yes, a new client coming over, you know, they may want to do a 15-month, 24-month, and they may want to be 100% invested. They may want to have several policies at one time, and whichever way they go, we'll do that. And the first thing they understand is a gentleman called me this week, and he just got in. He called me. He said, "Did I do all the papers right?" He was worried about it, and he did, and he signed everything right, and I assured him he had. But, you know, when they first come, lots of times they'll call me and ask me questions. The other day, some people came to the office to sign up, and the wife was not familiar with life settlements like her husband was. And she wanted to hear it from me, not him, you know, how it works.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole deal. And so I walked her through it, you know, and told her it's not like the stock market. You don't have that risk factor. It's a very conservative investment. It's just a life insurance on people's lives that have cancer, that are selling their policy to get money for medical. And then some of them are selling it to settle their estate before they leave. We always talk about Mr. Chen, who died.
Yeah.
You know, it took us 4 months to get Mr. Chen signed up. Remember, he was going to, he had a bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to Italy, going to all these places before he died. He kept one policy, sold the $2 million policy to us. And, you know, he thought he was going to live 2 years. Mr. Chen lived less than a year.
Mm.
And I wish we'd had both policies, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, life settlements are great for people's portfolio. They're also, on a side note, great for people's anxiety and stress level because you don't have to get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it takes all the stress out. And then we have widows that come to us, you know, that we didn't know before. And they want something conservative, and they don't want to go in the stock market because they don't understand it. And they know that their husband told them, if anything happened, get the money out of the stock market and do something conservative so that they don't want to risk it. Then we've had widows that have already lost the money.
Mm.
They were in the stock market after their husband died. They didn't know what they were doing, and the stockbroker didn't help that situation any.
Yeah.
So, you know, they come to us and say, we've got this loss, but we don't want to lose any more. And then sometimes it goes the other way. A widow will take all of her money out because some smart stockbroker's telling her he's going to make her rich.
Yeah. They're very slick when
but
they start
talking. But I haven't heard of him getting rich yet.
No. Wow. It's amazing, you know, especially when people have this set up and they've been doing this for a number of years, just stay on the same trajectory and everything will be fine. But, you know, people come in, they start promising things, they talk, you know, fast and slick, and it sounds like all this wonderful things are going to happen. And then they get out and you've heard, you know, a lot of horror stories about, you know, what happens when you get back in the stock market, and things can go downhill quickly. But fortunately, with life settlements, it doesn't really change. It just keeps, you know, making money and just, you know, stay the course and everything will be fine. So, and that's what it's all about, is making money. It's Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
You'll be shocked. It's about lettuce. Now, you're going to say, is you out of your mind?
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't see that coming. But I want to tell you about this company. It's the most amazing thing in the world. They bought 200 acres down here at Temple. They have a massive, massive lettuce growing facility. It's called Revel Greens. And I'm just taken with the whole situation. So outside of Temple, they call it an agriculture revolution is underway. They don't have tractors, they don't have plows, they don't have any shovels.
Really?
It's the largest lettuce greenhouse in North America.
Wow.
They've opened a sprawling 20-acre facility in Temple. It produces 24,000 pounds of lettuce a day.
Whoa, really?
24,000 pounds.
That's a lot. Lettuce doesn't weigh much, so that's a lot.
It's equivalent of how much lettuce can grow in 1 acre of traditional farming.
Wow.
Now, greenhouse farming, is controlled, it's environmental, but it isn't new. I remember years ago, people were doing hydroponics farming, but they never learned how to do it. But they've implemented this cutting-edge technology. It reduces the risk of crop failure and for foodborne illnesses. Mm. And as you know, over the last 20 years, they've had all these E. coli problems in California, and people ate lettuce and got sick. If you remember in 2019, 85 people in 27 states got sick and were hospitalized. Do you remember that?
I do, yes.
And it was because the cows next year, right next to them, were using the bathroom in the irrigation water.
Jeez.
And I remember somebody dying from that.
Mm.
And these people started out in 2017. They had a little 2-acre greenhouse in Minnesota. And there was 5 men. And they wanted to create a little small growing operation. And they were just going to sell this lettuce and things at little farmers markets. But the product sold so quickly, they had to go upscale immediately. So they went around and started buying greenhouses in California and Georgia. And then in 22, they came to Texas. And they invested in this land. And they built this new facility. They can add another 60 acres of greenhouses. And
wow.
Did you know, to produce 1 pound of tomatoes in Texas, how many gallons of water do you think it takes?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure, but I bet it's a lot.
26 gallons.
Really?
And to produce lettuce, it takes 28 gallons.
Really?
Avocados take 74 gallons of water.
No, I would not have guessed that. Wow.
And this company put this facility in, and they implemented a water trans system that moves the high-density growing boards throughout the half-mile-long greenhouse. They use 90% less water than a farmer would, and that's a game-changer in Texas. As you know, the droughts have cost us $1 billion since 1980.
Jeez, that's a lot.
They have less labor, less fertilizer, and doesn't take much soil. The seeds are planted by machines into a reusable styrofoam board. And they put just enough soil, which is peat moss, just for the roots to take hold.
Really?
But then they say their software can't do it all. So they have 80 people who work there. And a half dozen are growers. They monitor the plants, the growing conditions, the fertilizer. It's added to the pond water.
Really?
And so it takes very little land to do this. The greenhouse is a living, breathing mechanism. And they have to work with Mother Nature. They said he was a grandfather. He was a farmer in Nebraska before getting into the wholesale deal. And the younger Karofsky, enlisted in the Marines at 9/11, worked as a wholesale grocery buyer in Minnesota before he started in 20. But when they launched this, they found out a lot of things. Last summer when we had the terrible drought and the temperature was going up inside their metal buildings, they painted the tops of the buildings black It lowered it to 68 degrees.
Really? Now that's genius.
And they are genius at what they're doing. And it takes 3 to 5 weeks, including baby greens, red leaf, and romaine to grow from seeds to tiny little sprouts.
Really?
Then they're ready to be harvested. And then within a day, those vegetables end up at 10 retailers, Walmart, Sprouts, Costco, and HEB.
Wow.
And then everybody can choose a mixed green, 4 kinds of salad kits. And they were experiencing with growing baby arugula and full heads of butter lettuce. But not all leafy greens have been successful. And they spinach is the dark horse. They can't even make that work. But lettuce, they're a million producer.
Wow.
It's just, you know, the industry's changed over the last 100 years. But can you imagine for food safety, no plants, no little insects are eating them. They've taken all the risk out.
Golly, it sounds like greenhouse agriculture is really the way to go. I mean, not only, like you mentioned, is food safety improved, but, I mean, gosh, you've got less water waste, you've got, you know, less labor, less soil, less crop waste.
You've got a heck of a profit if you can produce that much lettuce, for the stores. And like they said, within a few days, it's already at the grocery store.
Yeah.
As soon as it comes up ready, they ship it right to the grocery stores. So this is the kind of lettuce that we need to be buying. It's the lettuce that this company is providing, because you don't have the risk of contamination. You don't have the risk, like everybody was getting sick last year. I know it wasn't as bad as 2017, but I know there was times I wouldn't even buy lettuce.
Yeah.
Because I would hear the stories about it, you know.
Wow. And, I'm shocked at how efficient this is. I mean, it sounds incredibly, things are being reused whenever they can. It just seems like it's just much more of an efficient process from start to finish.
I think they should grow everything indoors with our Texas heat.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looks to me like with our Texas heat being so bad that if you could do this, you could grow everything quicker. Everybody would be using Texas products instead of shipping it from California.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even need to send it here. We wouldn't need it.
I know.
We'd just say, you know, we're buying it here.
Wow, that would be ideal. I can't believe that there's not more of this being done.
I think nobody thought about it. And these old boys, you know, old simple people thought about it, made it work instantly, and said, we're going to go to Texas. Well, Texas is so big. They were smart to come here.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow.
Yeah, and then, it doesn't take as much water. You don't have the labor and the health problems that everybody has. I just think it's a win-win situation. I wish I'd have thought of it.
I know. Again, it's one of those things. We're in the wrong business.
We're in the wrong business. We should have been in the lettuce business. I mean, can you imagine the greenhouses and you don't have the bugs on it, you don't have the insects, you don't have the contamination, and it doesn't take near as much water, and it doesn't matter if it's storming in Texas or a drought in Texas, that lettuce is going to be ready and at the stores.
Yeah, with that kind of a controlled environment, I mean, golly, it just makes all the sense in the world. I'm like you. I wish I'd have thought about it. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the profit would be amazing if you can cut down on your labor, your water, and you own the land and you've got the workers.
And I mean,
what else do you need to make a huge profit?
I know it, right? This is just kind of going out on a limb here, but I would imagine probably it tastes fresher also, you know, especially if it's getting to the stores that fast. I would imagine.
It's getting there within just a few days.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez.
And it's, like it says, it's cost us $1 billion since 1980 with our droughts. You know, we never know which year we're going to have a drought. And, if you can get this lettuce this fast, and get it to the stores within just a few days, that's going to be the freshest lettuce you ever saw.
Yeah.
And it's going to be better than lettuce that's been sent from California, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, you know, and it's fresh, and there's, you can't beat fresh, you know, even if they, you know, freeze it or ship it, you know, for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days, you know, golly, things can happen in a very short amount of time. Things can go very, very wrong. So it sounds like they've got this nailed, you know, from top to bottom. This is awesome.
And they say within a day of harvesting it, the vegetables are at the stores.
Wow.
Within one day.
That's... Wow, you can't beat that. The only way to beat that is if it was in your own backyard, and most of us don't want to deal
with
that.
That's exactly right. That's the only, and you were doing just a small garden.
Yeah.
But who has time for that?
Nobody.
And, I know. We're all too busy. We think about it, but we're not going to go out there in the heat and work on some plants.
Yeah. And even if we had our own garden, you know, it still would most likely be outside. You'd still have bugs. You'd still have drought conditions or flood conditions or, you know, all the other things that they avoid.
The rabbits in the neighborhood would probably eat the lettuce. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they would.
You know, they happen to love lettuce.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have a prayer. The animals would all come over and eat it. We'd start over and something else would get in. And we waste a lot of time and money because we're not experts at it. And these people are obviously, they got it down right, and they're doing it right, and they're just laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, they are. I mean, golly, I can't. I mean, it's so efficient, and the thing is a lot of times people, you know, to strive for efficiency, they will sacrifice the product. But it sounds like in this case, they've got, you know, not only is the efficiency in place, but also, you know, all the things that they do to ensure they've got a high quality product are in place as well. Nothing is sacrificed, and so everybody wins on every level. It's great.
And their cost is so low to make the lettuce.
Yeah.
That's where your profit is. You know, you're not having to do all the things a farmer does to grow some lettuce.
Mm.
And so your expense is down. The cost is down. It's great lettuce. It's in the stores quick. And you've got a heck of a profit.
Wow. Who is this? Revel Greens? Is that who this is?
Yes, Revel Greens is the name of it.
Wow. They're on to something. Mm.
They're on to something. I love the story.
No doubt. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I'm like, yeah, I love lettuce. I'm just sometimes terrified to buy it because you never know. So
I am. So, last year, there was times when I was hearing about all this stuff in California, I wouldn't even buy lettuce because I didn't know which one might be contaminated.
Yeah.
And there was people got sick last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they build the farm facilities too close to their vegetable farms, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
It gets together, and then people get sick or they die from that E. coli.
Yeah. It seems like every so often we're hearing about a new outbreak somewhere. So...
And Wendy's had an outbreak not long ago.
Did they really?
Yes.
Mm.
So, you know.
Well.
I highly recommend that.
Yeah, no doubt. It gives me a whole new perspective on it. It kind of like opens up my mind. So, nice. Okay, let's go over risk real quick with life settlement. There are two major ones. What's the big one? Not major. I shouldn't say major because they're really not that major. But what is the first one?
The largest risk would be if it goes over, you have to pay a premium. So that is your biggest risk. So that's why we try to make sure that the premiums on all policies are very small. And in the last 3 years, we have made sure that we don't buy anything with any large premium. And then lately, we've bought a lot of them that have no premium. So that's even better. Hmm. And then the second risk is it is not liquid till it matures. So if you're in a policy... you cannot take profit till the end when the people mature.
And the reason I say that they're not major is because in order to do a life settlement, you have to be accredited. And so that means?
If you're accredited, you have to make either $200,000 a year or you have to be worth $1 million without your house.
Yeah.
And then the minimum investment on a life settlement is $100,000.
Okay. But people can bring over, say, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 and get in multiple policies, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Several people have brought over $1 million from their 401k. Or I've had one guy lately sold a big business, so he brought that over.
Cool.
So whatever it is, and when your money is in your account in between investments, you are making interest on your money.
Okay. All right, and real quick, we only have a couple minutes left, but let's touch on annuities real quick. Is there any kind of qualifications to do an annuity?
Well, the qualification is not as hard to get into an annuity. But you cannot put everything you've got into an annuity. You have to still have either a savings account, other assets that you can live on. If you had an emergency, you have to have emergency cash.
Okay. And what about risks with annuities? You don't really talk much.
There's really none.
Okay.
Because remember, your principal is always safe. Your interest is locked in once a year. And you don't have the downside risk of the stock market. So those risks have been taken care of. There is no downside risk because it cannot go down.
We talked real quick, briefly, earlier about the ideal range for somebody who wants to invest in a life settlement. What about annuities? Is there an ideal range, age range for people?
If you're fixing to start retiring, it's time for an annuity.
Okay.
If you're 70 to 73, you're fixing to have to start taking your RMDs. You're going to have to start taking money out. And then some people have more than one IRA. If you do, you can take it out of one account or the other. If it's a joint account, you may say, Faye, I don't need any cash right now, but I need the interest on the income. So you can take interest, leave it in your account, or after 1 year, you can start drawing money out.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of options. You know, people can do either life settlements or annuities or both, or, you know, it just really kind of depends. You can walk through people through the process, you know, determine what's best for them. They do need to call, though, make an appointment, get started, talk to you, get some more information. I assume it's business as usual this coming week. Yes?
You bet. It's business as usual. We'll be talking to people. People have questions and call me direct. It's always okay.
Awesome. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.